First verse today is Mark chapter 1, verses 35 through 39. Early in the morning, well before sunrise, Jesus rose and went to a deserted place where he could be alone in prayer. Simon and those with him tracked him down. When they found him, they told him, "Everyone's looking for you." He replied, "Let's head to the other direction, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there too. That's why I've come." He traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and throwing out demons. The next verse is Philippians 3, 12 through 16. "It's not that I have already reached this goal or have already been perfected, but I pursue it so that I may grab hold of it because Christ grabbed hold of me for just this purpose. Brothers and sisters, I myself don't think I've reached it, but I do this one thing. I forget about the things behind me and reach out for the things ahead of me. The goal I pursue is the prize of God's upward call in Christ Jesus. So all of us who are spiritually mature should think this way, and if anyone thinks differently, God will reveal it to him or her. Only let's live in a way that is consistent with whatever level we have reached." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
And you may be seated. Let's all go to God in prayer. Loving and most holy God, fill us. Fill us with your Spirit. We have been praising your name. We've been listening to people sharing their musical gifts today. We have been praying to you, with you, connecting with you in our prayers. Oh, holy God, we are worshiping you. And Lord God, we just ask now that you continue to fill us. Help us to understand your word this morning. Help us to live your word when we leave this place. It is in great love to you that we pray. Amen. So each Wednesday night at the table at the Brick House, we always wrestle with a question of the Christian faith. This past week, the question was, why doesn't belief in God make life easier? And it's a good question. And we ultimately came to the understanding that although life may not be easier, with Jesus in our life, our lives matter. And that brought us great comfort to think about that. The question has a lot to do with why our lives are so hard. There's a lot of things that happen to us. But there are a lot of things that we do ourselves that kind of increase the struggle in our lives, right? How do we handle all the stress and the anxiety? And for those of you with good memories, back to the first 2 months of the year, spiritual affective disorder, how do we deal with all of that? Well, we should rely on God, right? Does that make sense? Can I hear an amen? But we don't. We seemingly rely on our own resources. And what can happen when we rely on our own resources? Well, this thing called sin, that's part of what we wrestle with each and every day. It can cause us to adopt some not so great coping mechanisms to handle all that stress in our lives. And we find ourselves more and more trapped and farther away from God. Now, some of you might be going, oh, Kevin's talking about sin again. Well, guess what? That's our theme this season of Lent. Easter's coming! Woo! But we're halfway there. It's in a few weeks, and so we need to focus. If we're going to celebrate resurrection, we need to focus on the relationship with the one whose resurrection we're celebrating. And part of that is to wrestle with this thing called sin. And today what we're talking about are choices. And the choice is when you face difficulties in your life, when you face that stress and anxiety, do you go the easy way that sin provides, you know, and fall into some bad habits, some mediocre coping mechanisms? Or do you rely on the grace of Jesus Christ, who leads us to more? Because with Jesus, it is always more. Can you say that with me? More. No, I just one word today, guys. Let's do it again. More. There you go. There you go. After a year of going to school together at Southwest Missouri State University, Tammy and I got married in June of 1981. That's a long time ago. And we knew that our lives were going to change. Getting pregnant within the third month of our marriage meant that that change was going to really go rapidly quicker. And so when Tammy and I think back at that time in our lives, we give God thanks because God was with us, even though we couldn't acknowledge it at the time. And God most especially put family and friends with us that helped us at that really crazy time in our lives when, you know, when you're a newlywed and a new parent, it's like we don't know exactly what we're doing here. So I'm going to share with you a story from those times. I like to think of these days as my party on Wayne, party on Garth days, for all you Wayne's World aficionados. You see, a few years after our twins were born, Tammy and I were both working 40-hour work days. I as a baker, Tammy as a waitress, and I was going to school trying to finish my Bachelor of Science and trying to be the best dad I could be. So because of all that stress, because of all that craziness, I thought, you know what? I deserve to have a night out with my buddy from work. I deserve to have those times where I could go out and party. So me and my buddy would go out. We didn't go out every night. We didn't go out every week. But once or twice a month, we would pick a night and we'd go out. And, you know, let's say that I could probably have owned stock in Anheuser-Busch at the time. And we'd have a great time. But, you know, I had an ethic, if you could call it that. And that ethic was that I would come home very quietly so as not to wake Tammy or the boys. And I would sleep. And if I had to work or go to school the next day, I would make myself do that. You know, that's just the way it was. And all seemed well for a while until a good friend came into town. And this good friend really wanted to party. He wanted to go to a bar and hang out for a while. And so we picked a night where I didn't have work the next day. I didn't have school the next day. And I thought, all right. But we didn't drink beer that night. No, we had this concoction called gin and tonic together. And boy, that tasted good, that first drink. And then I drank till I couldn't remember. What I do know is that when I later got home, my friend had to help me. It took me a half an hour to get over 10 feet of ground in our front yard to the front door. And Tammy was there waiting, bless her heart. And as I came in, she had the couch bed folded out for me, and I fell flat on it and passed out. And I was sicker than anything. And wouldn't you know, I got a call at 5 o'clock in the morning to go into work for somebody else who was sick. And wouldn't you know, I got up and went to work. And I was feeling terrible physically. But more than that, emotionally, I was a wreck because I really felt like I let Tammy down. And even though they wouldn't realize it because they were about two, I felt like I let the boys down. You know, I just felt like I felt terrible. It's like this was out of control. And I had justified it because life was so hard and I needed that release. Now, friends, that was about 40 years ago, and I've not had a gin and tonic since that time. Kind of like liver to me now, if you know what I'm saying, okay? But the thing is, something changed at that time. I wished I had the resource in Jesus at that time. Now, My struggle at that point, I had a lot more struggles, friends, as we have we all, right? But at that point in my life, that struggle ended and things were a little bit more healthier and better for me. But the reality is we all struggle, and we all, if we're not struggling, then we have family, then we have friends that struggle even with more problems of how we handle with things. The struggles with work, the struggles with illness, we find ourselves coming home and instead of spending time with the people that we love, we are glued to the TV or we are glued to social media here. How many times do I go places and people aren't talking to each other? We're here. And I say that as I also do that myself. But then it gets deeper, right? Addictions. Nobody willingly becomes addicted. They don't say, hey, I think I'm going to, you know, I'm just going to shoot up because, you know, that's something that's a goal in life. When they stumble upon a pornographic website, they don't say, gee, this is going to be a worthwhile spending of my time. People fall into these addictions. There's one of the most powerful songs from the 90s. Kind of the same period as that Blessed Be the Name of the Lord song that we sang earlier. Different author. You all have probably heard this song sung by the late Johnny Cash, but it was written by Trent Reznor of Nine Inch Nails. And I just want to share a few words. This is from the song Hurt. It really tells it like it is about the struggle with drug addiction and how it doesn't help. I hurt myself today to see if I could still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, that old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away, but I remember everything. See, even trying to forget, you can't. Powerful song, a hard song to listen to, but it really lifts up the struggle that we have. When we try to do things on our own, by ourselves, sometimes we can do a pretty good job of it, but a lot of times we go the easy way and we try to anesthetize ourselves to the difficulties of life. Here's some good news. You and I, we have Jesus in our lives. And through Jesus, God's grace is poured out to us, and we know that we are precious in God's sight, and we are redeemed, made whole. And with that grace poured out, then we can be led to healthier habits, to reconnect with God. It's not the easy way necessarily, but it is the better way. And that's what our scripture is really pointing to this morning. Now, in the Gospel of Mark, before we got to the portion that Chris shared with us today, Jesus had spent all day healing people that had come to him. And, you know, Scripture's really, especially in Mark, is really terse. It's just very, Jesus healed people, hundreds of people. And we think, you know, healing people. How many of you have seen The Chosen, that streaming show? That probably had the most brilliant depiction of Jesus after a day of healing, where after he had been in a tent and his disciples are around a campfire arguing with each other, you see Jesus stumble out of that tent, and he is stumbling and almost falling, and he's helped by his mother into a tent. This is a dramatization. But to help people and share love is exhausting, even for the Son of God. And just that much that Jesus did, he needs to replenish. And Jesus doesn't do that by finding a flask of wine, new or old wineskin. What we find today and what Chris shared with us is that Jesus goes away by himself and he connects. He connects with God. Now, I'm not going to get into this argument. Well, Jesus is God. How does he connect to God? We're not going there right now. I'm just saying that Jesus is a perfect model in what we should do. Whenever we need that replenishment, whenever we are facing that challenge, whenever we are facing those hard times, we need to find a way where we can go and we can connect with God, because that's what Jesus does. And then what happens? Then Jesus says, it is now time for us to go to the next town. I'm ready. I've been with God. I'm filled with power. Let's go on, because this is what I'm called to do. The Apostle Paul knows what it means to be under pressure, to feel the stress of life's, of just life's strain. Paul is writing to the churches in Philippi from that passage in Philippians, and he's in jail. He's not out somewhere. He's actually dictating this, and it's coming from jail. And he's not bemoaning the fact that he's in jail, and he's not bitter about it. Instead, he's writing to people that he loves in another province, and he's trying to encourage them. And he lifts up this reality. He says, you know what? Believers, you all love Jesus. But it's not like you are just automatically sin-free. We all struggle with that. But what Paul is saying is we still can persevere. And we can hang on. I want to share these words because they're so powerful from Paul's letter. You know, he says, brothers and sisters, he's talking about this goal that he's trying to reach. He says, I haven't reached it yet. He says, brothers and sisters, I myself don't think I've reached it, but I do this one thing. I forget about the things behind me. I forget about how I screwed up before. I forget about how I haven't been good to other people before. I forget about how I've sinned before. And I reach out for the things ahead of me. The goal I pursue is the prize of God's upward call in Christ Jesus. And that is a mighty thing to challenge us all to. Because that's what Paul is trying to say, that for all of us, God's grace is there. Without God's grace, we stumble. But with God's grace, we have a chance. Founder of the Methodist faith tribe 300 years ago, John Wesley, was profoundly impacted by this understanding. And you can think of it as a simple mathematical formula. Grace greater than sin. Say that with me. Grace greater than sin. That was very important for John Wesley and what he tried to impress on all people, because God pours out God's grace on us, and God's sanctifying grace allows us this wonderful process of growing in our hearts, in our faith, called sanctification. It doesn't mean that you're going to start glowing and sprout wings or anything like that, friends. What it means is that we, with God's love in our heart, and we have to have God's love in our heart, with God's love, then that grace allows our hearts to open up more and more and more and more forever, so that we grow in love toward one another. That is our great hope. And with that grace, then we can begin to make better choice. Instead of falling into the easy way and to start drinking a lot again or getting high or spending hours on a pornographic website or cutting ourselves, what we can do is we can turn toward God. And I just want to share with you some healthy habits that we can do when we are struggling here. And this isn't rocket science. You guys know some of these. But if there's one that hits you, I invite you to take a note of what that one might be. First of all, the most obvious one is to pray. Ask God for help in reducing your worry and stress. Read Scripture. There are some very inspirational pieces of Scripture. Read the Psalms, man. The Psalms are where are just the perfect expression of human experience, filled with struggle and yet filled with such love and praise, all sometimes in the same psalm. Listen to worship music, sing worship music. You know, look at the words of some of the hymns and the praise songs we sing and what they mean. You might be surprised. I've been singing that. It calls you to a kind of an accountability. Call a good friend. And just share with them, a friend that you trust. And share with them what's going on in your life. Write in a journal. I write in a journal. I've written twice this year. I would love to be able to say, yeah, every day I write. No. Usually, most of the time I write my next journal entry, it's like, well, since last time I was here. And I do this review, right? And then I have a few words, and this is what's going on now. But man, that helps. That helps put things in perspective. Now, John Wesley would say we need to do that every night. Take inventory of our lives. And I give you that advice as well. I just struggle with that one. Laugh out loud. We've talked about that before. Wouldn't it be great when you're in the middle of a stressful situation? You're in the line at Walmart and things aren't going well. And all of a sudden you go, ha ha! Now people might look at you, but at the same time it's like, I'm glad I let that out. And then people will get out of your way so you can get up in line. Oh man, this is what we need to do. Walk away from the computer. And I would add, put down your cell phone, your smartphone. There are times where we need a break from that technology. And the last thing, and I've got a bigger list here and I'll share it online, but the last thing is, remember that we are not called to solve every problem in the world. And hopefully that turns our stress down quite a notch. Friends, we acknowledge we struggle. We just do, day in and day out. Some days are good, some days are bad. But each day we struggle. And there's that temptation. Sin would have us to go, you know what, you deserve to relax. Eat an extra cheeseburger from McDonald's or you know, just veg out. And I'm not saying you cannot relax and you can't do those things. But whenever we do these things that we are tempted to do and it takes away from being with other people, when it takes away and it gets in the way of a relationship with God, then we have a problem. So I invite you in this time of Lent to begin a process that will go on beyond Lent, beyond Easter, where you will turn more and more toward God and rely on God and God's grace. Take on those healthier habits and see how that might change your life. Because Jesus, in Jesus' love, would say, people that I love, you don't have to suffer. You don't have to just live life as though, well, that's just the way it is. Because with Jesus, there is always more. And all God's people said, amen.